worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Psalms, Psalm 122, beginning at verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." And now here we are, standing inside your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a well-built city. Its seamless walls cannot be breached. All the tribes of Israel, the Lord's people, make their pilgrimage here. They come to give thanks to the name of the Lord, as the law requires of Israel. Here stand the thrones where judgment is given, the thrones of the dynasty of David. Pray for peace in Jerusalem. May all who love this city prosper. O Jerusalem, may there be peace within your walls and prosperity in your palaces. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, may you have peace. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek what is best for you, O Jerusalem. All of Psalm 122. Then turning to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Faith is the confidence that we hope for will actually, that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner, living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there's no way to count them. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back, but they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, even though God had told him, "Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted." Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. It was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future to his sons, Jacob and Esau. It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. He even commanded them to take his bones with them when they left. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days and the walls came crashing down. It was by faith that Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. But others were tortured, refusing to turn to God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half, and others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. Verses 1 through 40, all of Hebrews chapter 11. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that, amongst other things, your word is a book of faith. Your word is a guidebook. It's a book of your counsel, your wisdom, your grace, your insight, and understanding. Father, more and more empower us to be a people that are faithful hearers and doers of your word, and more teach us to pray in faith, to trust you, and to walk with you day by day in prayer. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Hey, Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I ask that you speak to us. We make ourselves available for you, for your truth, and for just spending time with you in these moments. Father, I ask that you'd help us to study your promises, that we'd spend more time in Scripture, that we'd meditate on all the goodness that you have set out. The Bible says that whenever you speak, it is. So whatever you've promised, it's already happened. Father, help us to know those promises and to remember those. Father, I pray that we might look to the goodness of your promises too, not just that we would just remember your promises, but that we would dwell on your goodness, Father. Help us to count on you, and help us to believe in the midst of our doubting, in the midst of our forgetting, in the midst of our disbelief. Father, we love you. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. Thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We'd like to remind you once again of the prayer tool that we refer to as Kingdom Prayers. It's a prayer tool that has about a dozen Bible-based prayers that help to strengthen and encourage and set your prayer life on fire. So again, if you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Father, we thank you once again for your sovereignty over the nation of Israel. We thank you for your sovereignty over the nation of Iran. Father, flood Israel and flood Iran with your mercy, grace, and light more and more. Send forth many more laborers into Israel who will proclaim the gospel so that many would come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Send forth many more laborers into Iran so that many would come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior there as well, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we lift up other nations. Father, we think of the ongoing conflict in Ukraine, and we think of other nations that are in conflict. Father, we lift up the nation of Haiti, Lord, with all that's going on there. Father, flood Haiti with your mercy, light, and grace in the name of Jesus. Send forth laborers who will both proclaim the gospel and laborers who will go there to be your ambassadors to help build up that country to make it what you would have it to be in the name of Jesus. And Father, flood every nation with more of your light, your spirit, your mercy, and your grace, and more stir the church to rise up to be the church you've called us to be. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And Lord, thank you once again for your church. Thank you for each of us who are part of the listening family and all of those that are part of our listening family. And thank you for us as a nation, Lord. Help us, Lord, as believers. Help us as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks again for being a part of our listening family. And, you know, on a pretty regular basis, as we share articles and different prayer tools that we mention, our ongoing encouragement is that you'll email us to get copies of them so that you can use them in your own walk with the Lord. Also, tools that you can use to help disciple your family, and tools that you can forward and share by way of email with coworkers, fellow church members, saved and unsaved individuals, but you can forward them to any and everyone the Lord puts it on your heart to share them with, and that's a part of what they're for, tools to help and weapons to help strengthen you in your walk with the Lord and help us all to become better equipped warriors on the battlefield of life. Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Father, move upon every listener to grow in their understanding of how critically important it is to have the habit of reading your word every day. Help us to know, Lord, that when we fail to make time to get into your word every day, we just flat do not know what we're missing. Open our eyes and our hearts to see the tremendous gift, the tremendous blessing your word is to us every day when we're wise enough to make time to get into your word. And help us as parents and grandparents to be wise enough to make it a priority to have our children read your word out loud to us every single day. And shooting for a goal of 3 chapters a day, knowing that will bless and encourage all of us. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Outsized, the underdog, in the fight of my life. Is it so crazy to believe? that you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach. Call me to waters a little too deep. Oh, I've never been so aware of my need. You keep on making me see it's way beyond me. It's way beyond me. Yeah, it's out of my league. It's way beyond me. It's way beyond me. It's way beyond anything that I got the strength to do. In over my head keeps me counting on you. I'm leaving the sweet spot, short shot, trading it all for the plans you got. Is this so crazy to believe that you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach? Call me to waters a little too deep. Oh, I've never been so aware of my need. Yeah, you keep on making me see it's way beyond me. It's way beyond me. Yeah, it's out of my league. It's way beyond me. It's way beyond me.
The music of Toby Mac with Beyond Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're grateful to have as our phone guest today Marie Ferdinand Harris. She's a former WNBA athlete. And for those that don't know what the WNBA is, that's the Women's National Basketball Association, a former athlete and she's retired now, but she's the founder of the CJ Foundation. And Marie will further introduce herself as well. But Marie, good to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
All right. Well, honored to have you to come on. And again, I share the WNBA spelling it out because, again, sometimes some people are very much familiar with the Women's National Basketball Association, but some may not be. But would you take time, Marie, now to further introduce yourself so our listeners will know a little bit more about you? And then we're going to talk some about a book that you've written. And so, but I want to let you just dive right in and tell our listeners about who Marie Ferdinand Harris is.
Okay. Well, Marie Ferdinand Harris, I was born and raised in Miami, Florida. Parents are of Haitian descent. Went on to become one of very few Haitian to play basketball at LSU, become a Hall of Famer, a gold medal winner, a SEC great, a scholar athlete of the year, many different awards in college, and was blessed to be able to play in the WNBA for 12 long seasons, becoming a three-time WNBA All-Star. And now I'm running a foundation called Be Like CJ Foundation, and recently just published my first book called Transform the Winning Side of Losing.
All right. And so the correct title of the – give me the full title of the book one more time, please.
It's called Transformed, the Winning Side of Losing.
Okay, then. And the foundation is, again, Be Like CJ Foundation, correct?
Yes. The name of the foundation is called Be Like CJ Foundation.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm going to ask if you'll kind of just step right in and begin, share a little bit more about your journey. And of course, the book shares about your journey specifically too. So, and also, if you'd let our listeners know, if they're thinking they'd like to get a copy of your book, how can they get a copy of the book?
Yes, absolutely. The book is available on Amazon and also on my website, which is www.Marie, M-A-R-I-E, Ferdinand, F-E-R-D-I-N-A-N-D.com, marieferdinand.com. There's a link to purchase the book there. You can get one from Amazon, or you can get an autograph, a personalized autograph copy of my recently published book.
All right. Okay, well, thank you again. And if you'll just go ahead and share with our listeners a little bit more expounding on your story and your testimony.
Absolutely. Just my journey, it's just a testament to resilience, determination and pursuit of a relationship with Christ, seeking personal growth. I was born and raised in Miami, Florida, and my parents, like I mentioned earlier, are of Haitian descent. They came to the United States with very little, no speaking English, no form of education, but with a determination to open doors for their children. And growing up in Little Haiti is what they call that community in Miami, Florida, because in that little space, there was a bunch of Haitians that lived in that community. So it was known as Little Haiti. But growing up in that community was very dark, daunting place. You know, crimes, drugs, not the best school district, low performing schools. And, but for me, I was introduced to hard work by seeing how my mom navigated through these difficult times, how she would work 3-4 jobs just to make ends meet. It's 8 of us living in a 2-bedroom apartment. My mom and dad split, and, work ethic was demonstrated perfectly from my mom. Even though she was in, hardship, she displayed a great attitude and had great hard work. She had good and great work ethic. And I watched her. I watched my mom every day just make Christmas when, I mean, with the little she had. Mm-hmm. So I just always wanted to find a way to make life a little easier for my mom and see how I can contribute. I'm in the middle of the 8 siblings, 3 older brothers. I have an older sister and then myself, and I have 3 younger sisters. So I was always determined to look and find an opportunity to pursue higher education. College wasn't something that was a reality in our family. You know, my older brothers weren't really making the best decisions. My mom, like I said, never being in a home. Most of the time, myself and my younger sisters found ourselves at home, being there, being sheltered. My mom didn't have the resources to put us in a YMCA, a Boys and Girls Club, anywhere to develop our life skills. But I was always pursuing something, pursuing, although it was dark in the area we grew up in, I was always looking for where lies a light. And an opportunity opened the door for me when, at the age of 13, I heard an announcement. I was sitting in English class and they make that announcement. Anyone interested in girls basketball, come try out. And I thought to myself, oh my God, I should go do that. I don't know how to play basketball, but I'm sure they'll teach you. So I go and try out, and literally it changed the trajectory of my whole entire life. Mm-hmm. I end up playing basketball, not knowing what I was doing, but I had a lot of fun with my friends, just, you know, having something positive to do, which mm-hmm. made me want to continue. Then I go on to high school, and I feel like this is when my divine opportunity happened. I now love basketball going into high school, but mm-hmm. I still didn't really know how to play the game correctly. I was blessed to have this coach. He wasn't even our coach at the time. He was a security at our school. Like I said, our school were not the best schools, always fights, and there's always something going on at that school. So we had a lot of security guards at our school. But there was this one particular security guard who would always come to the gymnasium and volunteer his time and teach us basketball fundamentals. Mm-hmm. He would teach us the proper way to shoot a ball, the proper way to dribble, the proper way to pass. And he was one of those coaches where when you commit something, you do it wholeheartedly. You do it every day. And mm-hmm. he would literally have us in the gym developing our skills. And when we couldn't get in the gym because maybe volleyball was occupying the space, he would take us to a nearby court or mm-hmm. nearby playground and put us in his minivan and continue our development. Within 1 year of buying into what he was saying, I became one of the most sought after guards that all these universities wanted to give a scholarship, an athletic scholarship to. I end up going to LSU, which made headlines because they don't believe students from that particular school district can amount to anything or go to a prestigious university like LSU. Mm-hmm. But although I was hearing, I was never listening. I was determined to make things better for my mom and my brothers and sisters. And I wanted to be an example, especially to the younger ones. So I got to LSU, and I mean, just like a fish out of water, being culture shock at a LSU and having to be mentally tough and have confidence in myself and push myself to even sit in front of the class. Because I felt like I wasn't worthy to sit in the class at the time because, I mean, I grew up where I was in a household all the time, you know, not having my mom and dad instill confidence in me. And in our culture, being Haitian, when you're quiet, no one messed with you. You looked at as well behaved. So I was never stretched to be as confident as I should have been. So when I was at LSU, I it was hard for me to even sit in the front. I had to self-talk myself and make myself sit in the front of the class and say to myself, this was something that was earned, not given. So I made myself sit in the front and pursue, you know, making sure I passed my classes. I was on top of my game because the goal was not just to get to college, but it was to graduate and be an example, not just to my younger sister, but also to those other young Haitian girls who are now looking up to me. They're now taking up that motto, if Marie can, we can. So I didn't want to fail them. I wanted to finish. So I finish and I get to LSU. I remain mentally tough and I end up graduating LSU in 4 years, becoming a Hall of Famer and a Kodak All-American. I mean, picking up all the awards one can pick up. Then I was great and happy. Now I get to take my degree, go back to Miami and my little community, get a great job and help my mom out. That was my thought. But God had more in store for me. I was blessed to get drafted into the WNBA, first round, 8th overall, becoming, playing 12 long seasons in the WNBA, till this day, the only Haitian to ever play in the WNBA. So I just thought, you know, my life just through sports, it was opening doors. But now I retire post-athletic. I realize, wow, after athletics, I had developed as a player, but I was neglected as a person. I didn't have the skill sets I needed to be able to get a corporate America job. I didn't have, you know, I didn't understand. I didn't have proper communication skills. I didn't know how to communicate effectively. I didn't have confidence like I should have had. I didn't know anything about a resume. There was a lot of things that I never learned. I never really had to learn. When you're in sports, everything pretty much is done for you. But it was a rude awakening to learn these things where I had to go back and reinvent the person because the person has been neglected all those years, which I took pride in doing so. I started taking public speaking classes, learning how to present. I started to just have a confidence coach so they can teach me how to be confident. But then I had my son, CJ, and he was also loving sports, and I made sure he wasn't going to just be an athlete and make some of the mistakes I made. I wanted to make sure CJ was well-rounded. He was developing as an athlete, and he would also develop as a person. And that was my number one goal. I started pushing CJ to be a part of student council, to, you know, teacher needed a person to share a speech, whether it be an Easter speech, a Black History speech, any speech. CJ would volunteer and be the one to be comfortable speaking, to exercise confidence early on in life. So that way he can win in life, not just in sports. And CJ was on his way. He was just doing very well athletically and also as an individual. CJ at eighth grade had already had a scholarship to LSU for both football and baseball. He was a highly talented athlete. But what made CJ special was the way he treated people. CJ was more known for his character, not even his athletic abilities. He was known as the kid who was a friend to all the kids who needed a friend. Every day you'll find CJ sitting down having lunch with the kids who were special needs. CJ just loved people. He cared less about the home runs. He cared less about the touchdowns. No, what mattered to CJ was the players on the bench who would never get in the game. He wanted to make sure he go out and work as hard as he can to get a 30-point lead in whatever sport he was playing so that way the coaches can put in his other buddies so they can get a chance to play. CJ was all about inclusiveness, and he was about loving people. That made CJ's heart truly special, was to be able to just love. I remember just telling CJ all the time, because CJ would wear the same sweatpants every day, and I would say, CJ, you have other sweatpants in the closet, change. And he would tell me every day, Mom, the clothes don't matter. When we lost CJ, CJ was telling me that It wasn't the clothes that matter. It was the difference he was making in his school. That's what truly mattered. So CJ was just different. He was a kid who was a star player, but wanted no part of the star treatment. He was very humble and just wanted to make other people feel special and feel like the rock star. So while he wore those same pants, he didn't care because the company he kept, they didn't have anything. And he never wanted to make himself feel more than. So when we lost CJ, the Be Like CJ Foundation was birthed, which started a movement, you know, because now CJ has so much impact all around the world. Everyone want to be like CJ, not just students. Mm-hmm. There's even adults who are striving to be like CJ. Mm-hmm. At that point when we lost CJ, it was very difficult because prior to losing CJ, I felt like I was always winning. I won through escaping my tough childhood, living in Little Haiti, being teased, being looked at as less likely to succeed, but I won through getting to LSU. Then having a bigger goal with proving people wrong. People thought I would drop out. I wouldn't make it to LSU. They didn't think I'd pass my ACT because they don't give students a chance to amount to anything coming from the area where I grew up. But I was determined to prove them wrong, and I won.
I'm going to jump in right here. We're going to go into a break, and we're going to pick up right. We can pick up there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Marie Ferdinand Harris, former WNBA athlete. We'll be right back. Of Rich Mullins with Sometimes by Step. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Marie Ferdinand Harris. She's a former WNBA athlete and star, and she's the founder of the Be Like CJ Foundation. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our sister Marie. Thank you, Lord, for the work you've called her to. Thank you for the journey you've had her on as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, thank you for every believer that's listening who in many ways may can identify with some of the different sides of Marie's story. And thank you, Lord, for the fact that you really do call all of us to be winners as we learn to come to know you and how to walk with you and to walk out the call of God upon our lives. Lord, help us to grow in our understanding of the need for us to walk with you, to listen to you through your word and your spirit, and to be an obedient vessel. Help us to know, Lord, there's so much work to be done, and you call each of us to an important calling that's simply carried out as we listen to you, walk with you, and obey you. Empower us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. All right, Marie, before you pick back up, I wanted to ask you just a couple of things. Were you married before you got out of the WNBA, or was it while you were in the WNBA or after you got out of the WNBA?
I got married while I was playing in the WNBA.
Okay, then. Okay, so it was why you were an athlete. Okay, then. And also, at what point did you come to know Christ?
This wasn't until I believe I was in my fifth season in playing in the WNBA, mm-hmm. and God wanted his space. Prior to receiving Christ, I worshiped basketball. It's the only mm-hmm. thing I cared about. It's something I felt like I was, you know, it was survival for me. It was a way to help my mom, who struggled so much raising eight kids. So it was just basketball. And if I was having a great season, I was very happy. Mm-hmm. If I wasn't having a great season, I was very unhappy. I would mm-hmm. stay away from people. I wouldn't talk. I would isolate myself. It just became something that the only thing that mattered was basketball. Mm-hmm. So I was sidelined with an injury playing in Los Angeles, I believe, at the time. And this injury, it was a nationally televised game, and it looked like a career-ending injury. It was mm-hmm. a dislocated elbow. Mm-hmm. And literally, it wasn't what it was. It became where I just needed to be in a sleeve for 3 weeks, and I was ready to go back and play. But those 3 weeks was all about prioritizing and God wanting me to know who is the giver of all gifts. Where is my resource? Who is my resource? Where does my help come? Who has given me these talent, the gifts? And he wanted his space. He wanted his place as first place in my life. Mm-hmm. Because immediately after this injury, literally a day after, I'm walking to go into our athletic complex, and I'm met by a pastor who was our team president financial advisor. And I run into him, and literally he started telling me all about Jesus. And he took me to a nearby Christian bookstore and purchased my first Bible. And it is a Bible that I still have with me. Mm-hmm. And from there on, Jesus just became first. I had my order was finally correct. It was more Jesus, family, and then sports. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's when it all happened for me.
So you got saved while you were in the WNBA, and the Lord used basically mm-hmm. a chaplain on the team to help. That's who the Lord used to lead you to Christ. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. He was our team president, financial advisor, but he's a pastor's son. His dad is a pastor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. That's a powerful mm-hmm. reminder that God can use any and all of us to help people come to know Christ and to encourage in their faith as well. Well, now, so after you married, now, am I correct? Then you had three sons. Is that correct?
Yes, we have three boys. We adopted our oldest, and we have our heavenly son, CJ, and then we have a 9-year-old, Ace.
Okay, then. Okay, and CJ passed as a result of an accident. Is that correct?
Yes. CJ was involved in an ATV accident during spring break. Mm-hmm. Yes, he was in a ATV, and the ATV flipped, and it hit him in the head. And he later suffered a severe brain injury.
Mm. Well, so sorry to hear that. But praise God just mm-hmm. for how that you, the Lord has just led you to start. Again, the title of the foundation is the Be Like CJ Foundation, correct?
Yes, sir. The Be Like CJ Foundation. You can learn more if there are listeners out there who wants to know the whole story and see how we have gotten busy for Christ, on how we have made this a movement and everything we've done since the passing of CJ, which is now going on 3 years. You mm-hmm. can go to our website at www.belikecj.org.
Mm-hmm. All right. You know, would you expound just a little bit more? Our time is almost gone, but about mm-hmm. what you shared some about how that CJ was a good athlete, a gifted athlete, but he really mm-hmm. loved people and cared about people.
Yeah.
And you shared that he would sometimes sit and work with the special needs students. And that's so powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, would you expand on that a little bit more?
Yeah, CJ was just He was just different. That's the best way to explain CJ. Because here's a kid, 14 years old, eighth grade, already have a scholarship for football and baseball. Athletically, he is like, they call it, the man on campus. But this kid was so humble in heart to where he didn't care about the worldly things. What made his heart happy was, where was the kid who needed a friend, and how can he be a friend to that kid? Where was the kid who was sitting alone and was not popular? No one would talk to them. CJ would find them and would go and sit with them. CJ cared more of things that matter to Jesus. CJ was the junior superintendent at church. CJ led prayer. CJ loved going to Sunday school. CJ was the junior superintendent. He was the one that was, you know, calling out the announcement. CJ loved being in the choir. CJ didn't care about the athletic piece and the worldly piece and being, you know, looked at as an athlete. No, he cared about trying to be around those kids who were just, you know, who didn't have any talent. You know, so everyone thought CJ was weird, because to be so talented and be so good, he only chose to be around the kids who weren't, the kids who didn't have. Those were the company CJ kept.
You know, Marie, I think of this, that, like, as you share about the grace at work in CJ's heart and life, it's a reminder that every believer is called to grow, to become more and more like Christ. And, you know, I really appreciate you sharing about your son, CJ, in that, because the world becomes more and more of a better place when people allow the Christ in them to flow through their words, their actions, their attitude. We live in a world where there's so many, obviously, when someone's not saved, you know, sin is very ugly and selfish in and of itself. Yet as believers, it's so important that we strive to walk with Christ, be students of the Word, we be people in prayer, people who obey the Word, because the Holy Spirit works on all of us to do just that, to help us to become more and more like Christ. So thank you again just for sharing about just how you saw Christ in your son, CJ. If someone wants to get a copy of your book, again, the title of the book, Transformed, The Winning Side of Losing, how can they get the book?
They can receive the book by going to Amazon and just putting in either my name, Marie Ferdinand Harris, or you can just type in Transformed, The Winning Side of Losing, or you can go to my website, which is Marie, M-A-R-I-E, Ferdinand, F-E-R-D-I-N-A-N-D.com, MarieFerdinand.com.
All right. And also, if they're just wanting to learn more about the Be Like CJ Foundation as well, is there a different website or the same website?
Yes. Yes. To learn more about the Be Like CJ Foundation, you can go to BeLikeCJ.org.
Okay. All righty. Well, Marie, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your story. And I want to pray a prayer for you and the work God has called you to as well. Father, thank you, Lord, for our sister Marie. Thank you for the work you've called her and her husband and their family to. And thank you for the journey, the powerful journey you've brought her on to where you have her today. Thank you for Marie, again, her husband, and each member of the family. Thank you for the Be Like CJ Foundation. Bless each of them and the foundation, each indeed. Expand their territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon them. Keep them from evil, that they may not cause pain. In Jesus' name, Lord, more and more use Marie and the foundation to accomplish your perfect will, to inspire many more young people and adults to become more like Christ in their words, their actions, the way they approach life, the way they seek to live life, living out your faith in the day-to-day interactions with people in a world where people desperately need to be touched by the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, fill us all anew with your Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit, who is love. Help us to know, Lord, that every day is a day to walk in love. Every day is a day to be kind, to be considerate, to be thoughtful towards those around us. Help us to know, Lord, that every day is a day you can reach through us and touch the world wonderfully with your love, your compassion, your grace, your giving nature. Help us to know, Lord, that every day is a day to be a vessel that Christ can use for your glory, your honor, in wherever we might go. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Marie, share one more time if someone wants to get Transformed, the book, Transformed, The Winning Side of Losing. Tell them how they can do that.
go to www.marieferdinand.com, or you can go to Amazon and type in Transform, The Winning Side of Losing.
All right. All right. Thank you so much again, Marie, for being with us today. And as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you know you've never made the all-important, eternally important decision of inviting Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. Would you, from your heart, pray this prayer and commit your life fully to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Simply pray this prayer with me if you want to make that step. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we're very much wanting to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource material that'll help you to begin to grow up, grow strong, and grow deep in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, please get in touch with us. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Again, joseph@afr.net. Our guest today has been Marie Ferdinand Harris. Marie, thank you so much for being with us. And one more time, if someone wants to either learn more about the Be Like CJ Foundation or to get the book Transform, The Winning Side of Losing, tell them again how to do that.
Visit belikecj.org, or you can visit marieferdinand.com.
All right, Marie, keep up the great work, okay?
Thank you for having me.
All right, and please pray for Marie and pray for the Be Like CJ Foundation. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.